If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27. I have one verse for you this morning. Proverbs 27:12. The prudent sees danger and hides himself. King James actually says takes refuge. But the simple go on and suffer for it. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for Living Faith Church. We thank you for this time to assemble ourselves together, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, to be in your presence, to be in this community of believers so as we can celebrate and fellowship with one another as you have designed it to be. And Lord, right now we ask you to bless this word. May it be used to build the kingdom of God. May it change lives. May it change hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Proverbs 27:12. Real quick, the title of the message is simply called Warning Signs. Warning Signs. You know, the Bible here says the prudent sees danger and hides himself or takes refuge, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Prudent actually means acting or showing care and thought of the future or wise. You know, you could use the word wise instead of prudent. The wise see danger and they take refuge. Simple means naive or showing lack of judgment or experience or wisdom. In other words, a wise person sees something coming along the way and they see danger, and rather than go into the danger, they stop what they're doing. It's a brilliant idea. Great concept. The simple, though, it's like, hey, I see the bridges out up ahead. Let's go see what happens. And they go over the bridge. All right, they ignore it and they suffer for it, the Bible says. Warning, just hearing the word makes one stop, even for a moment, doesn't it? Everywhere around us are warning signs and labels in our lives. Your lawnmower has a warning label, as it should. Your weed eater has a warning label. Kevin just bought a kayak down at the beach for his 50th birthday present. It's got a warning label about this big. Warning. We buy something new and it comes in a big box. You ever bought something that comes in a really big box and it's got a picture of two people on it? It says, warning, two people lift, and you lift it by yourself. You ever done that? Anybody ever done that? Hurt your back? Ah! It says, warning, two-person lift. I'm two people. I got two hands. No, you need four hands is what I'm trying to tell you. My Jeep has a warning label on it. Every time I get in it, I look on the sun visor, and it says, warning, this thing will flip over, basically. This thing has a short turn radius. It'll flip. It has a warning label. For the record, I haven't done that. I haven't flipped it. Cars have warning labels about airbags. Maybe there should be more warning labels in cars for some of the airbags we see driving. Water hose. Man, I bought a new water hose the other day, and I was surprised it has a warning label on it. That's where this whole message was birthed. I went to Sam's, bought a 120-foot water hose. I don't know why I bought a 120-foot water hose. As we know at Sam's, everything's bigger, right? All I needed was a 50-foot, but all Sam's has was a 120-foot water hose, and it was cheaper than the 50-foot water hose at Lowe's. So what are you going to buy? 120-foot water hose. So I get home and I'm up. It's almost too big to wrap. You know, I got one of them little things on the wall. It's like, and it had a warning label. It says warning, and it says see back of box. I open up the back of the box, and there it is. It warns me. Number one, I shouldn't drink out of a water hose. Man, I failed. If you've ever drank out of a water hose, you have failed in life, man. It is over. But then I started reading. Oh, well, I've drank out of a water hose. How many of you ever drank out of a water hose? I mean, if you're really thirsty, you don't care where it's coming out of, right? Almost. So you're drinking out of that water hose, but you know what? It goes on to read it. There's chemicals inside that hose that seal the rubber, and there could be mold and mildew depending on how old your hose is. And also I'm thinking, I never want to drink out of water hose again. There's a warning label on that. We now have large digital signs on the interstate, the roads we travel, warning us of bad weather or an accident to help us avoid stop traffic. Don't we all want to avoid stop traffic? Nothing worse than stop traffic. Some signs are needed, others are not. I mean, if I'm ordering coffee, I probably don't need a warning that it's hot. But since there was a lawsuit, since some lady bought a cup of coffee several years ago and it was hot and she spilled it on herself and she got burned, she sued and she won. Yeah. Imagine the concept. I like a cup of hot coffee. Well, you didn't tell me it was hot.
That's right.
Shouldn't need that. Just this morning. I bought two hot apple pies for a dollar at McDonald's. Almost, it says caution, hot. I'm being warned that this thing is hot. I'd like two hot apple pies. Hey man, this could be hot. I shouldn't need a warning if I'm ordering a hot apple pie, right? Anybody want a hot apple pie? Two lucky contestants right now want a hot apple pie. Raise your hand. Anybody? Daryl said he wants an apple pie. Man, Daryl caught it. Apple pie. Anybody? Audrey said she wants an apple pie. Way! Missed it. Sorry. Man, I shouldn't, if I want a hot apple pie, I shouldn't worry if it's hot or not, right? I shouldn't need a warning. I shouldn't need a label to tell me, hey man, this thing's hot. Well, of course it's hot. I'm ordering a hot apple pie. There are other things in life that should warn us every day, and they don't. Facebook should have a warning on it. Excuse me, Don, what you're about to post, the whole world is going to see. Warning. It should flash across the screen. Warning. Before you hit enter, think about what you're doing. Everybody's going to see it. Here's the deal. I preached a message to the youth several years ago. It's called about technology. And I told the kids, I said, I don't care if you post it and you delete it 30 seconds later. It's there. It can be found. You deleting it, it can be found. But there should be a warning on Facebook. There should be a warning on Twitter. Hey, before you tweet this, everybody's going to see it. Before you put this on the gram, before you Snapchat it, think about what you're doing. There should be warning labels on that stuff. They're all around us every day. So much that I think warning loses its impact on an individual. The year was 1992. It was a great year. I was driving a 1985 Chevrolet Celebrity. And I was working at the State House during the summer, but also had a job at Pro Image down at the town center. And I didn't want to give up my Pro Image job because when the summer State House job ended, I'd still need some flow. You know what I mean? I needed cash. Wasn't a lot of cash. I mean, so I kept my Pro Image job and I worked. So I'll never forget one day after getting off the State House, I drove my Celebrity down and all I wanted was my paycheck. Is there anything wrong with getting my paycheck? I didn't want to pay whatever it was, a dollar or all that stuff to park. I was like, I'm just going to pull up Bob Evans. How many ever parked at Bob Evans right beside the town center? And I was like, I'm just going to whip in. I'm going to be here 15 minutes. What could possibly go wrong? Of course, I pull in a parking spot that says, warning! For customers only, violators will be towed at owner's expense. Now, up until that point, I really thought, now I'm being honest. Can I be honest with you? I really thought it said owner's expense. I thought it was on Bob Evans. You know what I mean? I didn't know it was on me. So I roll in, I run up to the Pro Image, I grab my paycheck. Stacy, don't shake your head. I really thought that. I grabbed my paycheck. It was all like $65.13, you know, for like 2 weeks of work. I didn't work a lot, obviously. Didn't get paid a lot either. But I thought, well, I'm going downstairs to the bank. I'm going to cash it real quick. I'm going to cash my pocket. Honestly, I wasn't gone 15 minutes. Man, I come out and there's a tow truck. He's got my car. And I'm like, come on, man. I say, man, it's my car. He said, not right now. It's not, sir. It's just my car. I was like, I said, come on, man. I'm going to get my paycheck. I said, I work state. And I work here. And he said, hey, man, you parked here and blah, blah, blah. He said, I'll tell you what, $45, I'll let it off. I just made 65, right? At least it didn't take all 65, right? So I gave him $45 to let it down. So I proceeded to get in the car, driving down, you know, I was kind of upset, just like 2/3 of my paycheck for nothing, for parking and not heeding the warning sign. So I'm driving down the boulevard. This was obviously before I had hearing aids. So I'm driving and you know, you ever drive and you get beside somebody and you just hear this roaring noise, this loud noise, you think, man, what's wrong with that car? So here I am driving down the boulevard, and every time a car would pass, I hear, roar! I was like, man, that sounds awful. So like any good teenager would do or young adult, I just turned the music up louder. Turned that music up, man, I was blaring to something. And I just, music was jamming, and I was ignoring it. And man, I get up to the split, and I'm going across the interstate, and all of a sudden that car is just, my car, not anybody else's car. And I get across the Yeager Bridge, and that car is just, vroom, vroom. I was like, man, this is bad. Whatever's going on, there's no lights on, there's no warning, there's nothing, but the car is acting up very, very bad. All of a sudden, I'm on the interstate, now I'm doing like 35 miles an hour, and I have it punched. It won't go no faster. And I thought, man, I better go to my dad's. That's when Dad had the car lot at beside Wendy's. I thought, I'll just take it to my dad and let him look at it. I didn't make it to my dad. So I get off the exit, and I'm trying to go, Mart. I get past big lots, and this is like getting worse and worse. I get up on the straight stretch past Smith's Fasteners, and about, I don't know, not too far past Smith's, up past that hump, all of a sudden the car just goes, boom! The car blew up. I blew up a car. I blew up that car. And I got it off the side of the road, and here came a KRT bus coming. There was hot oil dripping out. It was on fire, and I flagged down the KRT bus, and I grabbed a fire extinguisher, and I that's the first time I ever used pass. Pull, aim, squeeze, shoot. You know what I'm saying? Just for the record, that is how you use a fire extinguisher, right? Pass. Pull, aim, squeeze, shoot. All right, so you know, you've learned something today. So, man, I put the fire out, and I'm standing there now. Got a dead car. I'm broke. I got no cell phone. And cell phones didn't exist at that point. If they did, you had to be like a millionaire. And, of course, nowadays you have to be like a millionaire to have a cell phone, too. So I'm hitchhiking for like the first time in my life. I'm going down, and somebody picked me up. Long story short, when that tow truck driver pulled that off, they have to knock it out of gear. And he messed that gear shift up to where, even though I had it in drive, it was really in low one. It said drive, but it was really in low one. So I was driving in low one. And fortunately, there was a good mechanic in the town of Marmette, Dave Hudson. And my insurance paid for it. And they ended up putting a new engine in that car. I don't know if you remember that or not. But I blew that car up. The cool thing about the whole thing is after it blew up, the check engine light came on. Yeah. Hey, man. I mean, it's like, kaboom! And check engine light. Thank you. Warning signs. I didn't get the sign. It was too late. I mean, let's be honest. We got train tracks here in the town of Marmette, and there's warning. Those arms are warning. I mean, they come down and say, hey, there's a train coming. Ding, 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 ding. All right. How many of you ever? Come on. It's an honest moment. I have, Roy. I have. I have. The arms are coming down. You don't want to wait any longer. You're going to be late for church. I got to run through the arms, right? Now, there are times, don't get me wrong, you pull up and there ain't a train within 100 miles of Marmette, and then warning lines are down. Them arms are down. But they're there to warn us and to tell us and prepare us. That, hey, something, there's a train coming, right? And wouldn't it be cool if we had warning arms? We saw Pastor Mark and his arms came down. Ding, 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 ding. Stay away from Pastor Mark, right? Wouldn't it be cool if, hey... But we don't have that. That's our biggest issue, is we ignore the signs and we ignore the lights. In my car explosion, man, there were all kinds of signs. Loud noises, reduced speed. Car literally was jumping. I should have pulled off a Kmart. I should have pulled off Big Lots. But I didn't. But in my case, the lights didn't come on until the end. But there were still signs showing me and preparing me and trying to warn me. The car was acting up really bad, and I was dumb enough to think it was okay. Let's be honest here today. Life is a tough teacher, isn't it? Life's a tough teacher. There are good days, bad days, and all days in between. So warning signs are there to help us, to educate us, to guide us on this journey. You know, what if we could go back in time and send one letter to ourselves at any year of our life? I know you can't, but just think about it for a second. What if I could send a letter to Don Kinder when I was in 1992, when I was like 19 years old, 20 years old, say, hey, man, when you get towed at Bob Evans, call somebody. That car's going to blow up. Wouldn't it be really cool if I could have told myself, hey, man, don't do that? You know, Brad Paisley actually wrote a song. It's pretty cool. It said, Letter to Me. And the problem, of course, is if we wrote a letter to ourselves, we don't even believe our parents. We're not even going to believe ourselves, are we? But there's one line in that song. It says, one line says, each and every time you have a fight, just assume you are wrong and Dad is right. It's a powerful line. Because 20 years from now, I'll look back and say, man, my parents were right. They tried to tell me. They tried to tell me. They tried to warn me. You see, as we grow older and a little wiser, we look back and think, man, I wish I would have seen that coming. Life would be so much easier if we got a second time around after learning from our first time around. But we don't get that, do we? We only get one life. So we have to make choices based on experiences. And some of us don't have experiences yet to help us make those choices. So there are warning lines and warning signs in our lives to help us. For the lack of experience, the check engine light comes on now. Guess what? I don't put tape on it anymore. I stop what I'm doing because it could blow up. I got a prime example. I've seen it happen. I don't take the chance. You know, the people we have to trust when we don't have experience, we have to trust people who have experience. I'll say this as a parent of four children. It's not easy. All right? Kelly and I, we do everything we can to instill nothing but good principles in our children. But guess what? I can't make them grab onto those good principles. All I can do is share my experiences and share my ideas and share my thoughts and say, hey, but you know what? They're their own people. They'll make their own choices, good, bad, or indifferent. I don't always want that. I'll insert warning signs across the way. But guess what? They're their own people. But we need to live knowing that today is connected to tomorrow. So many people today live as if today is all that matters. Don't get me wrong, today is kind of a big deal because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. But I will tell you this, today and tomorrow are connected. My decisions today will affect my tomorrows. Amen. It'll affect my future. It's kind of a big deal. Somewhere, every choice we make is taking us somewhere. Every choice we make is taking us somewhere. Some take us exactly where we don't want to go. Some of our choices take us exactly where we don't want to go. And when we get where we don't want to go, life becomes complicated, doesn't it? When we're not where we want to be, life all of a sudden becomes complicated. Why? Because we miss the warning signs. We miss the signs. Life gets complicated. And it gets hard. Now, according to Proverbs 27:12, though, a wise person is aware that today is connected to tomorrow. Our choices today affects our future, good or bad. So let us be making the best choices. You know, I made a good choice. Let me say, there are good choices and there are better choices. There are good choices and there are best choices. Let's make the best choices for our lives, not just the good choices. Yet the simple or naive person lives as though life is not connected to tomorrow. They live in a manner that says, today is my day. I don't really care what happens tomorrow. Guess what? That's being very naive. That's being simple, as it says in Proverbs 27:12. And you may suffer for it. The primary difference between the wise and simple is not that they see, not what they see, but how they choose to respond to what they see. Simple sees danger and they keep going. Wise sees danger and they change their course to avoid it. Yet so many times that we are going, we think we're going to be exception to the rule. How many of you ever felt that way? I'm going to be the exception to the rule. I'm not going to buckle my seatbelt today because I've never been pulled over before. I am going to be the exception to the rule. I'm going to use my cell phone as I drive because I've never seen a police officer when I'm on the phone. Guess what? We always think we're the exception to the rule, but guess what? We're not. The rule will catch up with us. We're not the exception to the rule. I will be okay. And when it's not okay, who do we blame? We blame God. God, why didn't you warn me that a police officer was going to be around the corner when I had to take that call? Why didn't you give me a heads up? It's called a law, man. They activated this law. It says you get pulled over and you get a fine. I shouldn't have to warn you. It's a law. Right. Remember this key statement. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. Amen. You can have all the good intentions in the world, but your direction is where you're heading determines where you end up. I mean, I can drive 64 West, that's that way, just for the record, and tell you I'm going to Myrtle Beach. I can drive 64 West and put on Facebook, heading to Myrtle Beach. I can drive 64 West and put on Twitter, going to Myrtle Beach. My direction tells me I'm not going to Myrtle Beach. We'll end up in St. Louis in 8 hours, right? I'm not going to end up in Myrtle Beach. My intentions were to go to Myrtle Beach. I told Facebook I'm going to Myrtle Beach. I told Twitter I'm going to Myrtle Beach. I told all my friends I'm going to Myrtle Beach. But my direction took me somewhere else. My intention doesn't matter. To the wise or prudent, later is now. The wise do not wait until later to address. The wise addresses it now. Warning signs. So we got these natural warning signs. I believe there are some warning signs in our spiritual lives, though, that we all need to pay very close attention to. Things that could easily flag and say, hey, man, we need to stop right here. The wise see something and they stop. So I've written down a few things that God's given me over the last couple weeks, ever since I bought that water hose. And we're going to go through these rather quickly. This is probably going to turn into a small group lesson sometime this fall. Hang on with me. All right. The very first thing, the warning sign you lose, if something is not right in your spiritual life, is you lose an appetite for the Word of God. You lose your appetite for the Word of God. Like newborn babies long for pure milk of the Word, 1 Peter 2:2 tells me. And the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Man, we gotta have faith. We gotta have the Word in our life. It's kind of a big deal. If you have no personal Bible study, if you're only fed by preachers, that's not a good sign. You're not going to grow spiritually by only being fed by others. You become easily bothered. When you become easily bothered by biblical challenges, it's a warning sign. That's a warning sign. If God is pointing out something in your life and you get uncomfortable, that's a warning sign. God is giving you a sign. He's warning you. He's warning you. Maybe you feel you know all you need to know. How many of you felt that? I know all I need to know. John 3:16, dog. For God so loved the world. What did he do? I don't know, but he loved me. I know all I need to know. God loved me. I know all I need to know. There's so much more, man. There's life in this word. It's life changing. It's life altering. The word of God will change your life. And if all you're getting is 30 minutes on Sunday, you're starving. Amen. You're starving. You know enough to get you to heaven. Thank you. You heard that. I know enough to get to heaven. I don't think you do. I don't think you do. Remember, this is a relationship, folks. This is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about knowing something. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you remember when you were in love with God, when you were in love with the Word of God? Couldn't put the Bible down. Sometimes the only way to restore your hunger or passion is force feeding yourself. Force feeding yourself the Word of God. Man, we got phones and Bible apps now. You got no excuse. Can't find my Bible. You got your phone, don't you? We all know where our phones are. We know where they are. They're right here. It's upside down. It'll flip, actually. So smart. It's so smart it flips when I have it upside down. We know. We have the Word of God at our fingertips. Now, there are no excuses. Get you a Bible plan. Man, there's some really cool Bible plans that you can get on that have reading programs. Force feed yourself the Word of God. Do not lose the appetite for the Word of God. That's a warning sign. Number two, the loss or desire for prayer. When you no longer have a desire to pray, it's a big warning sign. It's a big warning sign. The Bible says to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And that doesn't mean 24/7 you're supposed to be on your hands and knees praying all the time. What that means, I'm supposed to have an attitude of prayer at all times. An attitude of prayer at all times. Prayer is more than cries in time of distress and thank yous before meals. That's how we regulate a prayer. God, I need some help. I'm thankful we have the prayer chain. I'm thankful that we can post on Facebook and say, hey, I got a need, or this family has a need, and we begin praying for that people. But man, prayer is so much more than emergency situations. Right. Prayer is so much more than 911.
That's right, man.
Right? Prayer is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's an open dialogue between me and my Creator. So I can talk to Him, and guess what? He can talk to me.
True.
He can talk to me. And if you're missing that prayer life, if you're like, oh, it's not a big deal. Guess what? It is a big deal. That's a warning sign. That is a warning sign. Read and study when you don't feel like it. Read your word. Pray when you don't feel like it. You know, we're getting ready to start up small groups again. And man, we pray in small groups. We read the Bible in small groups. We put the unity in community in small groups. I mean, we challenge you to get in a group. You want to be unified at the body of Christ? You want to be unified to learn how to read the Word of God and study the Word of God and pray to God? Guess what? Get into a small group. Get into a small group. Real prayer life is hard work.
Amen.
It is. It's hard work. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much, James 5:16 tells me. That tells me I got to work at it. Man, if I'm going to accomplish much, guess what? It ain't. Hey, God, this is Don. Yeah, Pastor Frank, well, feeling good. Give him a high five. Bless him. Amen. Man, that's not going to accomplish a whole lot. Man, I want to accomplish something. Guess what? If I want the prayer to be effective, guess what? Don has to be effective in prayer. If we want the prayer to accomplish something, guess what? We need to accomplish something in our time in prayer. And if you're not have a consistent daily prayer life, guess what? That is a warning sign. That's a warning sign. Let me say this. It's in my notes. I'm going to tell you this. This message isn't for you to sit there and say, hey, oh, yes, this guy. Oh, man, I wish they were here so they could hear this. This is an individual message. It's delivered corporately, but it's an individual to be received. Every message is that way. We're delivering this on a corporate basis, but it's all for us as individuals. Amen. MC Hammer said it best. We got to pray just to make it today.
That's right.
Right? We got to pray, man. I got to pray just to make it. Just to survive, I got to pray. Number three, questioning God's love. When you find yourself where you're questioning what God really loves you or not, that is a warning sign. That is a warning sign that you need to get checked out. Your check engine light just came on your dashboard. All right. Your check engine light just came on the dashboard. Malachi 1:2 says, I have loved you, but you have asked, how have you loved us? We get to a point where we say, God loves us. Then we say, how does God love us? What's God done for me today to show me his love? You know what? That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. The enemy came in and started planting seeds of doubt and seeds of confusion. And next thing you know, here we are. Here we are, all because of doubt, all because of someone questioning God's love. And if you're starting to question whether God loves you or not, that is a warning sign. Your check engine light came on. The good news is the engine's still running. Everything's still working fine. But guess what? You can get checked out. You need to get checked out. When Satan plants a seed of doubt concerning God's love and care for us, when the storm came on the sea, what did the disciples say immediately? Master, they went and woke him up. Jesus was sleeping in the bottom of the boat. Master, don't you care that we perish? They immediately question his love. They immediately question his faithfulness. See what happens real quickly? We question who God is. No matter what difficult times you're going through, no matter how dry things have been in your life, we know that God is love. And in him, there is no changing that love for us. He is faithful to us. His love is a defining characteristic that gives us peace. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Never forget that. Number four, a warning sign, giving towards the kingdom of God. Giving to the kingdom of God. Malachi tells us that we're supposed to bring our tithes and offerings to the storehouse. And if we don't, we're robbing God, right? Basically what it says in a nutshell. The next sign of spiritual decline or a warning sign is when we don't, our attitude towards giving to God or to the church changes. I don't have to tithe. Like church is fine. The power's still on. They had internet, so they must be doing okay, right? When our giving, when our attitude towards giving changes, that is a warning sign. That's a warning sign. When someone's heart is open to God, they have a willingness to give. Remember this, giving is just as biblical as salvation. It's just as biblical as healing. It's just as biblical as all those things. And if your heart towards giving has changed, guess what? That is a warning sign. You get it checked out. Your light is on your dashboard. Number five, loss of focus and loss of priorities. There are warning signs that just flash up in our life. Man, when your focus has changed and when your priorities have changed to the things of God, guess what? That is a bright light warning sign. Something is going on. Your heart can change from the things of God to the things of this world very quickly if you're not focused. Your focus then becomes on temporary things, things that don't really matter. That's like yesterday, man. We were on that boat, and I don't know if the guys, they were all talking. I was spinning some tunes. I bring my little waterproof boom box thing, Bluetooth, and I'm just jamming, man. Everybody's just going by. We're listening to some cool music rolling down the river, and there was this lady in front of us. She kept trying to fix her hair, and she's trying to take selfies. I don't know if y'all even pay attention. She was right in front of me. I mean, her hair was this way, and she would pull it all down and try to fix it again, and she... She never was satisfied. I never see her took a picture. I don't think she ever got satisfied. But everything was about the temporary. How's her hair look? How's the picture going to look? You know, and that's sometimes how we live our lives. Everything is so temporary. Everything is so right now. Right? I mean, duck face. It's all about now. It's all about now. Everything is so temporary. Everything is so temporary, and that means our priorities is lying somewhere wrong. I'm not saying a lady taking a selfie on a kayak is like some bad thing, don't get me wrong. But it proved that she was not there for the water. Like, she was worried about how the picture was going to turn out, not the next 10 and a half mile trip. She's not the one that got stuck under a log, just FYI. You know, what were your priorities? Are you number one in your life, or are you more concerned about yourself than others? And that includes God. Matthew 23:27 says this. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Verse 38, this is the first and greatest commandment. Verse 39, the second is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. And verse 40 says, all the law and the prophets hang on to these two commandments. It all comes down to that. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it in a nutshell. That's it. Those are the two greatest commandments. Because guess what? If you're fulfilling both of those, you're doing all right for yourself. But if you're not, there's some warning signs. There's some check engine lights going on in your life. You get it checked out. In a world of self-serving, self-centeredness, the Lord calls us to have a different priority, to focus on Him. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We mistakenly think all these things means me, 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 me.
Right.
All these things don't mean me, 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 me. All right? It's a universal concept. My life is impacting other people. My testimony is impacting other people. My faithfulness is impacting other people. My focus is impacting other people. My priority to put God number one in my life is impacting other people. And all those other things, guess what? That's all in that verse. It's not all finances. It's not all hot apple pies. It's not all tacos. It's not. Taco Tuesdays is cool, though. It's not all that. It's the global thing, man. It's to change the world. When I'm seeking the kingdom of God first, my focus is to change the world. My priority is seeing His kingdom advance. When I seek the kingdom of God first, all those things, guess what? That follows that. Follows that. Your affections will change when your priority number one is the kingdom of God. Your affections will change. Your motives will change. Your ideas will change. Your life will change. And if it's not, it's a warning sign. Number six, a loss of discipline. Loss of discipline. You know, we get lazy and more, and we compromise more in our life. It's a warning sign. It's a warning sign. Ephesians 5:5 says this, "For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an adulterer, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." Verse 6, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient." Verse 7 says, "Therefore do not be partners with them." Don't hang out with them. It's bad news. Listen, if someone is telling you it's okay to compromise in the area of immorality, impurity, or being self-pleasing, and still feel secure in your eternal destination, you better check your engine. You got some lights flashing somewhere on the dashboard of your life. Somebody's giving you some bad info. It's not helping you. Your lack of discipline. You're being deceived with empty words. It takes discipline to know and not to compromise in our lives. It takes discipline. A lack of disciplines in these areas is a major warning light. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline," or a sound mind. His spirit given to us for the purpose of self-discipline. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us to help us discipline our lives, to help us navigate this journey called life. And without Him, I can do nothing. Without Him, I will fail. Why? Because I try to do it on my own. I try to do it myself. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, "I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air." Verse 27, "No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize." We have to have discipline in our lives. We have to be disciplined to have a great spiritual life. We have to be disciplined to have a relationship with Jesus Christ that's going to impact the world around us. It takes discipline. Anyone can run aimlessly. But we have been given aim. We're fixing our eyes on Jesus. We're fixing our eyes on Him. Amen. It's a warning sign. Number seven, loss of commitment. Usually the first to go is church attendance. If church attendance is negotiable for you, all manner of things will crowd and push in and out. If coming to church is a negotiable, it's okay. I'm not saying I went on vacation for two Sundays, and trust me, it was not negotiable those 2 weeks. I mean, I could have got up and went to church, but I was on vacation. All right, I'm not talking about when you go out of town. I'm talking about if it's every Sunday. You know, you're gone more than you're here. It's negotiable for you. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The day is approaching. If you can't see that all around us, you're not looking. There are a lot of reasons for that. Encouraging one another includes teaching, corporate praise and worship, and fellowship. Man, I mean, Jesus is coming back. This world, I don't know if you can't see it. All you got to do is get on any social media, turn on any newspaper, read newspaper, turn on any news channel. It's growing worse and worse out there, folks. It's growing worse and worse. I'm not going to tell you when because I don't know. But the Bible says there's coming a day when Jesus is going to split the eastern sky. And guess what? He's going to blow a trumpet, and we're all going to, those that are in Christ are going to leave this planet. Those that are dead are going to rise from the dead, and we're all going to go to heaven with him. It's coming, whether we like it or not. That day is approaching. And this is not the time to be lacking in commitment to Jesus Christ. It's not the time. That's a warning sign in our lives. And what the cool thing is, we get to come here in fellowship. There's nothing wrong with worshiping God. I mean, you like to worship in your car or in the shower or while you're mowing grass. It doesn't sound possible to worship while you're mowing grass. But you can. You can put on some good music and sing. But man, there is nothing like corporate worship. There is nothing like coming into the church of God, to the house of God, and worshiping with other believers in Jesus Christ. There's nothing like that when we can all come together in unity and worship our Lord and Savior. That's an awesome, awesome place. That's the way God designed it. He designed us to assemble together, to worship together. And let me tell you something this morning. I love to worship, but I love worshiping with you. I love worshiping with you. I love seeing you at the altar. Worshiping. I love that. It's one really cool thing about this church. The altar is always open. You know, if you come to the altar, ain't gonna be 100 people trying to tackle you. All right? Because you may just be coming to worship. We get that here. It's open. You're open to worship our Creator openly in this place. It's a cool place. These are just warning signs that I've just went over, just seven real quick. Warning signs spiritually in your life that if any of these are happening, guess what? Maybe you want to get checked out. Maybe we'll get checked out. Your life is still here. You will still have time to address it. But get the warning light checked out. Psalm 139, 23, 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way or wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. When you see a warning light, pray that prayer. When you see a warning light, pray that prayer. When there are things going on that don't feel right, pray that prayer. Search me, O God. Try me. Point it out. Put me on the diagnostic tool of the Holy Ghost. Try me out. Search me. Trust the signs that are in your life. They're there to protect you, to guide you, and to help you along this journey. As Pastor Mark preached last week, we all have issues, right? We saw the title of the message at the beach. We figured he was talking about his week at Myrtle Beach with us. We all got issues, and the Kinders have lots of issues, and the Williams have lots of issues. We all have issues. We all have things we need to deal with. It's okay to know that, but we don't have to live in that, do we? We don't have to live in that. There's more to your story than your shortcomings. There's more to your story than your failures. Knowing that connects us in a greater way. It links us. It bonds us to something greater than we are. Knowing reminds us that we're not floating on isolated ponds, but we're on this river together, on this kayak trip. We're on this together. We're not just little isolated pods floating around in this thing called Christianity. We're all on the same river. We're heading in the same direction. Amen. I ran across this verse this week, 2 Samuel 22:25 in the Message Bible. It says, God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to his eyes. God wants to rewrite the text of your life. Maybe you feel like your life is not going the way you want it to go. Maybe you feel like your life is just like a doom and gloom. It's a horror story. All right. The Bible says in Samuel here that God will rewrite the text of my life when I open up my heart before his eyes. In other words, when I say, God, I don't know what's going on in my life. I got a check engine light going right now, and I really have no idea what's going on. So, God, I'm going to open up my heart, and I'm going to allow you to rewrite the text of my life through your eyes. It's a powerful moment. It's a powerful moment. Remember my 85 celebrity. I can blame the tow truck driver all I want to, right? I could blame Bob Evans. I didn't get a free meal out of it. But ultimately, I missed the signs that were all around me. I turned the radio up to drown out the noise. I mean, and we do that spiritually sometimes. We do that naturally, too. We got all this going on. I'll just turn the music up. Just focus. I'll turn the TV up. Except my house. Kelly likes it really low. We can't drown it out all the time. When we try to drown something out, it's dangerous. That's a dangerous, dangerous place. The check engine light. How many of you have ever had a car, your check engine light come on in your car? Some of you are lying. Hey, if you're low on air, you got a light coming on telling you got low tire. How many of you had a low tire? All right, now you feel better now. I think some worthless person mangling your car. What if we as individuals had check engine lights on our forehead? We'd all come to church with duct tape on, wouldn't we? We'd all have a piece of black tape every Sunday. Woo! I'm good. He'd be passing out the door. There you go. And we can put black tape over that check engine light on our dashboard of the car. Guess what? That doesn't make the problem go away. We may not see it. Somebody jumps in our car, and Pastor Mark uses my car. He may never see the tape. Like, man, it's a nice car. Sweet. Well, you don't see there's a light flashing behind that tape. Shut car down. It will die. Man, what if we all had check engine lights right here? Warning sign. Top about to blow. Woo! We would all have that piece of tape there, wouldn't we? Let's be honest here today. Acting like the check engine light or warning light in our lives is not there, does not make it go away. Acting like your light will magically fix itself is not being very honest with yourself. The same can be said of our life. Acting like our life, if we ignore it, will go away. It's not true. If you do nothing, you get nothing, right? Amen. Their own way to get nothing as a result is to do something. The Holy Spirit is a diagnostic tool. He is the one that can diagnose us, check our check engine lights, take the tape off. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, as I close, trust in the Lord, lean not on thine own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. You know, when you read the word trust, it implies a risk, doesn't it? It's actually a risk. God, I'm going to trust you with my life. Technically, the word trust is risk. I mean, we've seen that all the time. You see, youth groups do it a lot. Somebody will stand up on a table and there'll be a bunch of people behind them, and they fall and everybody catches them. You know, I've shared with you, I've never would do that because I won't be the guy they catch. And they'll be like, hey! You have to trust someone to do that. And we say, God, I'm trusting you with my life. We're taking a risk of faith. Say, God, I'm giving you my life. I trust you. I promise you, He's not going to let you down. He's not going to let you down. Life may throw you a curveball, may throw you a changeup. Things may not always go your way. But guess what? God's still there. He's still on the boat of your life. He may not calm the storm, but guess what? He'll take you through that storm. I promise you, He's not jumping ship on you, man. He's on the boat with you. He's not leaving. All right? He's right beside you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. And when you see some check engine lights, when you see some warning signs, it's okay. We all have them. Except those who don't have warning lights in their car, you know what I'm talking about. But this is the place to get it fixed. This is the place to get it checked out. This is the place where we can ask God, diagnose me today. Check me out today. And when we see the warning signs, we need to take refuge in our God. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble, Psalm 46:1 tells us. The wise see trouble coming, and they take refuge. If you're a wise Christian and you see trouble coming, you take refuge in the one, the cleft of the rock, right? We hide in the cleft of the rock. We take refuge in the one that overwhelms us with His presence. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for this time in your word. I thank you for warning signs that you flag in our lives, you give us, you tell us, not to harm us, not to correct us, but to help us. And Lord, I pray right now, if there's any warning signs in our lives, that today is a good day to get them checked out. Today is a good day to be diagnosed by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Everybody, keep your heads bowed real quick. God loves you with an everlasting love. His plans for your life are greater than your plans for your life. Some of us have some great plans. Man, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do that. And they may be awesome, but you know what? God's plans for your life are greater than yours if we just get plugged into Him. But so many times we miss it because we start having warning signs. We start having some check engine lights come on in our lives. And rather than addressing them, we try to cover it up and patch it up and keep moving on. But the Bible says in Proverbs that the wise man sees danger coming and he takes refuge. He takes refuge in his God. the simple will fail or suffer for not stopping. So I want you to know this morning, it's okay. As Pastor Mark said last week, we all have issues. We all have shortcomings. We all have mistakes. We're not flawed. We're not perfect people in this place. We serve a perfect God, but we're not perfect people. So we're going to sing a song of worship. And when we do, we're going to raise to our feet. And I'm just going to open up this altar. The Holy Spirit is here to diagnose you. Maybe there are some warning signs in your life. You want to get it checked out. You want to get it corrected. Search me, O God. Try me. Maybe it's doom and gloom. Open up your heart, as it says in 2 Samuel. Open up your heart and let God rewrite the text of your life. So as we sing this song of worship, you can stand to your feet. You can open your eyes. The Holy Spirit is here. If there are warning signs in your life that need addressed, He is here to help you. He's here to diagnose. He's here to correct. In Jesus' name, as we sing, would you come?